Today on Real Radio.
And he said to her, Talitha kumi, which says, I say unto thee, arise. Are you dead or are you alive in your faith with Christ? Jesus says unto thee this morning, arise. Take up thy bed and walk. Get going for him. Don't you see that time is so short? And the Lord is coming. And Jesus says, when I come, will I find faith on the earth?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We're in a mini-series that takes a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 through 15. The young pastor's mentor, Paul, reminds his son in the faith that persecution for standing up for scriptural truth is to be expected. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing in this series called Follow Those Who Are True.
I saw an ad this week that came to my house. It grieved my heart. Come to our church. It's not even like coming to church. You don't have to carry your Bible. Don't worry, you'll be out in less than an hour. It's fun. Hey, I just want to say, when those sheep over there or wherever get hit by a storm, when a tornado comes through their life, when somebody dies, where's the answer? I mean, what are they going to lean on? You've got to know the Bible. But see, you mention Bible and people freak. They don't want to hear it. And yet it's the only thing that's going to stand. Paul's telling Timothy, you're going to make it, Tim, because you know the Bible. And it grieves my heart that there's going to be people that are going to see the times of the end come upon them. They're going to go, what is this? What's happening? Pastor, what's going on? And he's going to go, I have no idea. I have no idea. Let's sing another song, and all of you think a happy thought. You know, and maybe, you know, when I was a kid, I used to whistle when I was scared. So let's all whistle Amazing Grace or something. I don't know. My heart, you know, I laugh, but my heart, I grieve over that. I grieve. Charles Spurgeon said, could you tell I've spent time this week reading Spurgeon, maybe? If you find a professing Christian indifferent to his Bible, you may be sure of this very thing, that the dust upon its cover will rise up in the day of judgment and testify against him. Ouch. Is that not true? Is not our hearts convicted this morning at that word? The Holy Spirit is behind that. He's behind you studying the Bible, learning of God. We should have confidence in his word. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, Hebrews 2, 1 through 4, the Bible says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Now, how many of you believe that God's working in this church? Don't raise your hand. All three of you, don't raise your hand. It's not the fact of the matter. Yes, we come up here. We are all men and women. But the Bible speaks that he'll flow through us and that we're to study the Word of God. But yet, you know, 3 weeks ago, I delivered a message to you here at the same time. Can I remember? Maybe a tiny bit of it. Oh, Holy Spirit, bring these things to my remembrance. Oh, God, help me. But he says in Hebrews that we need to be careful what we are hearing, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression deserved disobedience in its reward, how shall we escape if we neglect? You know what this word in the book of Hebrews says, in the Greek, the word is neglect. It means to think as casual. To think casual. Oh, yeah, it's just the Bible. Oh, you know, brother, there are a lot of things outside the Bible. Or where'd you get that idea? Oh, I got it from the Bible. Oh, well, I don't really take it quite literally. Hey, there's a kangaroo boxing match tomorrow night. Want to go? Oh, yeah, I can skip Bible study. I can skip church. Neglect. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10, verse 25, not to neglect, to reject, to think as casual, the gathering together of the people of Christ in the church. We need to be careful not to neglect. And he says there in Hebrews 2, 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken of by the Lord himself and was confirmed by those who heard? God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his will. Why did God show signs and wonders and miracles? To back up the word of God. And if you think about it casually, we ought not to think about it casually no more. I can tell you, man, the more I get into the word, the more I'm bummed that I'm not in the word more. The more I get into the word, the more free I am, the more joy I have, the more power I have in my walk, and the more wisdom you get. I mean, you see the world going around and you know what's going on. The Bible is so wonderful. Back to 2 Timothy 3. He says in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture. Now, first of all, we need to understand clearly that Jesus qualified many of the scriptures. When he walked on earth, he quoted scriptures, confirming the validity. Jesus himself said that the Bible is written about him. That's a pretty bold statement. Well, let me ask you this. Do you believe in the full, whole counsel of God, the total Bible? Do you believe that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish?
I don't know about that one.
All right. Then God prepared a Typhoon-class submarine, and it swallowed Jonah and torpedoed him out on the shore in Nineveh. Oh, yeah, I can handle that. Well, look, if man can make a great fish that goes through the water and launches missiles and can talk to satellites in space. We had a friend who was a helmsman. They call him pilots now on the Drum nuclear submarine out of San Diego. He said they went to the Philippines and back without surfacing, without going above water, you know. And he said they were just cruising along. They had to go below 200 feet of water before they could go to full acceleration because it creates a wake on top of the water at the speeds that they go. Isn't that awesome? That's intense. And he said they would launch this pod type of a thing that's connected to the sub, and they would talk to satellites. And at one point in time, they had gotten a call from the president at that time concerning some stuff. And it's just very interesting, has nothing to do with the message. I like that kind of stuff. But, the whale. Jesus said, he shall bring all things to your remembrance. Jesus said that Jonah was swallowed by the great fish. Do you believe it? Jesus believed it. Jesus believed it, I believe it. Jesus talks about Daniel. You believe it? I believe it. All scripture. And you know, he talks here about inspiration. And look what he says. All scripture is given by inspiration. The word in the Greek means God breathed outward. God expelled. God breathed the scripture. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean that these guys were sitting on a rock and their hand kind of went, oh gosh, look, Hey, look, everybody, my hand. And they start writing scripture. It means that God began to move them under the influence of His Holy Spirit. And as God breathed the scriptures, the Holy Spirit moved or drove the men to write them down without error. Listen, without an error. No mistakes. Not only without any mistakes, but absolutely anointed from the throne of God Almighty. That it isn't just a book containing the Word of God. I said that the other day. Somebody, I saw eyeballs light up. We do not believe that the Bible contains the Word of God here. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. There's a big difference. And when you go from church to church, as most Southern California Christians do, smorgasbord Christianity, you need to find out when you go to your next church, ask the pastor, do you believe that the Bible contains the Word of God? Say that. If he goes, yes, we believe it contains the Word of God. You know, your alarms ought to go off. The Bible is the Word of God. And so, all Scripture is God-breathed as He moved the authors of the Bible. In fact, Scripture, look at Daniel, Jeremiah, Revelation. The guys are writing the Scriptures as the Holy Spirit's giving it to them. They're writing it down, and Daniel puts down his pen, and he goes, ay, caramba, I can't figure this out. I don't understand it. And he said, because I couldn't understand what it meant, I was sick, and I couldn't stand for many days. They didn't even understand what they were writing sometimes, as God just worked through them. That's heavy. That's inspiration. That's power. And he says there that it is profitable. It is very, very beneficial. It is the absolute. It's with absoluteness for your Christian walk. You will not have a Christian walk outside of Scripture. For doctrine, and this word doctrine means teaching and learning. For reproof, this word means convincing, bringing a person online with the Bible and God's wisdom and knowledge that you think and you are convinced of the Scriptures from the Spirit and from the Word. Then the word is correction, and it means to stand up straight or to be reformed. And I kind of chuckled with sadness as I thought this week, what is the prison over here called? The California Institute of Corrections or whatever? It's supposed to be reformed. It's supposed to reform them. You know what? I sat, I don't know if you've been to a prison lately, but it's a sad place, and there's no reforming going on. I couldn't believe the stuff I saw in a prison visitation I went on, inside the prison. But I tell you what, everybody knows that the system is not reforming anybody. So you know what? Let Bible-believing churches have 1 year authority in the prison system. Bible studies every day, altar calls every day, worship music, praise, teach the Bible in all the prison systems in California to proclaim the Word of God and nothing else. It would be a miracle. It'd change people so radically, these guys will come out saved. And if they don't come out saved, they'll at least be under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Bible was taught. And they'll know that there's a right and a wrong. But we can't teach the Bible to them every day of the week because it's offending their rights. So, terrible, isn't it? The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, this is a great verse, jot this down. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. And we heard his voice, Peter said, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. We also have the prophetic word made more sure than that, which you do well to take heed to as a light that shines in a dark place. So what's he saying? We've not only heard the voice of God, what's more important than that, Peter said, is we have prophecy. We have the scriptures. Knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Any private interpretation. It means this, people. You can't yank out of the Bible and twist and yank something and manipulate it to fit your quirk. You've got to read the Bible in its totality to get good understanding. No scripture is given to private interpretation. Not at all. So he says there that it is profitable. And by the way, let me say this. As a pastor and you as a Christian, you are to exercise the word of God with good doctrine. You are to reprove people and say, Lord, you know, prepare their heart. They're doing this thing wrong, or they're living this way and it's not right. And Lord, and I come to you, Father, and so Lord, help. And you go and you say, I love you in Jesus. But you can't do this. Look at this verse. And you plead with them. All reproof, all correction has got to be done with a heart that is committed to restoration. You don't come up with your Bible and go, boom. You blew this, boom. You blew that, bang. You point them to the Word of God weeping if you have to and say, now, fix it, brother. Let's make it right. Let's go get a taco together and talk about it and pray. You restore them. It should always be done that way. It should always be. And so he goes on to say that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Every good work. The word of God will bring us to maturity, people. The word of God will cause us to be complete. That word means, some of your Bibles might say perfected or become perfect. It means to become the full Christian man and woman that God has intended you to be. Are you there? Do you feel it? Do you experience it? Have you come to the completeness? You know, a lot of us think, well, I can't really, I mean, I feel like it, but I can't say it because I know none of us will ever arrive, and so we always say no. You know what? I just want to be real honest right now. It says here that we may, look, that the man of God may be, past tense, complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Equipped, that's past tense. Let me put it to you this way. When we come to Christ and we grow in him and we want to serve him and we are serving him, number one, be content with what God's doing in your life. Number two, don't be content with where you're at. Number three, if you're walking in the Lord, he'll see to it that you're never content in those areas. He'll bring you up to a step on the staircase, and you'll go, man, this is awesome. Praise the Lord, this is great. I've never been this strong before. I've never loved the word of God more. I've never been used more. And then God says, great, take a break, take a deep breath, enjoy it. Next step, and up we go to the next rung. And we get pushed up to the next level. If that process is happening in your life, then you are complete and you're becoming complete and you shall be complete. God is working in your life. You're growing in him. You're growing. Listen to these verses here. Well, wait, before that, the word equipped. It means to be finished out on time. It means to be accomplished or to have a work accomplished with luster or sheen. Isn't that neat? It speaks of a journeyman working on a piece of wood. He's working on it, he's sanding it, he's making it beautiful, he's working it out, and he's doing it in a timely manner. He's not going to be late, it's going to come together at the right time, and it's going to be very shiny and beautiful. That's you. That's you. Psalm 138:8. I quote this a lot, and I'm going to quote it a lot more. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the work of your hands. And he says, I won't. Thus saith the Lord. He says, I won't. How about this? Write these down. We're going to go through them quickly. Genesis 28:15. I am with you, and I will watch over you. I will bring you back into your land. I will not leave you. I have done all that I have promised you. Do you hear the power in that? I am, I will, I will, I will, I have done, I have. I'll do all those things that I've promised you. I will do them, saith the Lord. Genesis 28:15. The words of Scripture thrill my soul as nothing else can ever, Spurgeon said. They bear me aloft or they dash me in pieces. They tear me in pieces or they build me up. The words of God have more power over me, this man, than David's fingers ever harped upon his harp. David played skillfully. God plays much more skillfully. In Psalm 119, verse 140, your promises have been thoroughly tested, and your servant loves them. Quickly. Where are you this morning? Where are you this morning with God? Are you growing? Are you complete? Is the word of God exciting in your life? Are you fearful? The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12 that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to get right into your heart. Where are you this morning? Listen, if you forget everything else, don't forget this. Are you in fear this morning? Matthew 17:7, and Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise, be not afraid." Are you afraid? Are you crippled this morning? Crippled by life? Mark 2:11 says, Jesus speaking, "I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed and walk." Are you defeated? Are you just full on defeated this morning? Luke 8:54, but he took her by the hand and said, "My child, arise." Are you stressed out and confused? Who isn't these days? Jesus says in Luke 17:19, "Arise and go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole." A path that looked clouded and cluttered, Jesus says, "Arise and go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole." What about this? Are you dead this morning? Maybe you're not even a Christian. Or maybe you're a Christian, but you're dead. You have no life in you anymore. And Jesus is nothing. You know him. You love him. You think you do. I mean, you try. You care. You'd never deny him. But you're dead. You have no fire in your heart anymore. Jesus loves you. And Jesus says to you in Mark 5:41, and he took her by the hand, and he said to her, "Talitha kumi, Talitha kumi," which says, "Little girl, I say unto thee, arise." Little boy, little girl, wherever you are this morning, are you dead or are you alive in your faith with Christ? Jesus says unto thee this morning, arise. Take up thy bed and walk. Get going for him. Don't you see that time is so short? And the Lord is coming. And Jesus says, "When I come, will I find faith on the earth?"
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a look at part of 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's a presentation called Follow Those Who Are True. A valuable bit of advice on emulating those godly examples we've all encountered in our lives, even if it comes at the price of persecution. And we'll continue with more in our series through 2 Timothy on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Remember now, this entire series through 1 and 2 Timothy is now available all on one MP3 CD. And for your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to Real Radio, we'll be glad to send it your way. To get in touch with us here at Real Radio, our phone number, which is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You can send in a gift online if you'd like. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or the traditional way, you can write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 917-RADIO. 09. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word.
Inside you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.